Well, hey, dear man, it's an honor and a pleasure to really have you on the show to get to meet you. And I can't thank you enough for coming on to speak to our audience. And I'd love for you to just share your background to our listeners.
Yeah, my name is Jared Nieder. I'm from Lawrence, Kansas. I just turned 42 years old the other day. And really my story really started when I broke my neck in 2011. I mean, that's not when my story started, but that's when my life became a lot different than other people's. But before that, I grew up idolizing my father, working for him in his construction business, and you really liked my life and really liked the direction my life was going. And I was really excited about what was going on. But then, my mom always said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. And my plans definitely got derailed. And by, one thing I'm really grateful about with my spinal cord injury is it's through no fault of anyone else. I went running down a beach and I dove into unfamiliar water, and I'm the reason that I'm paralyzed. And there's a lot of people I know that that somebody else is responsible for what happened to them. And psychologically, I have not seen that been beneficial for anyone. I'm really glad that the only person I have to blame is myself, and I can kind of move on from that aspect.
Yeah, that's such an interesting perspective, right? I've never really heard anybody say it like that. And I think that speaks to taking accountability and responsibility of like your circumstances. And so I appreciate you kind of sharing it that way. I mean, that's a really unique perspective we've never heard on this show before.
It's something that I have to deal with. That's hard because I'm also the reason I'm like this. So I do get mad, and it's myself that I have to be mad at. But I think it's what it's really done is kind of forced me and allowed me to focus on other aspects, because it's like sitting in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, that's perfect. And, Jared, I appreciate your candor and vulnerability with that and telling us your backstory. And, like you said, taking responsibility. But I think it's great to kind of dive in because you're talking about it gives you chances to explore other opportunities and things like that. And, I was watching your Instagram the other day and you're talking about how you work for three universities. And so I'm kind of curious, like, how working for universities has really impacted your life and what unique perspectives and things you do for those universities.
So for the University of Louisville, I'm a part of the human research team there, and the epidural simulation that I'm involved in, I'm actually part of the research team now, and I help create training videos and help manage social media, and I also help manage media on the drive. Actually, with the work I've done with my social media, the people at the hospital recognize the editing skills I have, and that kind of led to a job with the university. And then with Drexel University, they're doing a research project on strength and cardio conditioning on people with spinal cord injuries. So I'm really excited about joining that and expanding what I know about training people with paralysis and spinal cord injury. With the University of Utah, that's probably who I work with most closely. 4 times a week, I teach cycling classes for people with spinal cord injury. They have a really cool program there. They have a grant where they will get, if you sign up for their class, they will deliver a hand cycle to your house so you can take these classes remotely. Most of the people in my class are, it's like a tri-state area there in Utah that they serve. And then I'm the lone person joining from Kentucky leading the class. But that has been really amazing. And that's more than exercise classes. Those people in that class are all my friends. We hang out for, 30 minutes typically after every class in the, I think a big part of spinal cord injury is one, fitness has to be at the forefront of your agenda, or you're not going to get the most that you can out of life. But then this injury is also very isolating. And so when we get together to work out, then afterwards we hang out, and that's a big part of my social interaction for the week is the interaction I get with the people in that class. And I think it's a big part of the interaction they get for the week too. And so that's something that I think is really, really important. I was very, very social before my injury, and I'm still a very social guy, but it takes it down a couple notches. There's just no way to avoid the reality of how isolating this injury is. And I think it's really cool that with the workout offerings, that there's a community aspect that's been brought into it. And that just really is good for the soul.
Yeah, that's a great way to talk about communities, right? I mean, that's what everybody's really, you could say, maybe lacking in some spaces. And like you said, a lot of people feel isolated, especially with the injuries such as yours. And so I'm kind of curious how you fell into that and like what you bring to the table, maybe how both you've impacted other people's lives and that, you know, class has also impacted your life.
Yeah. So after my injury is when I really, really discovered fitness. You know, I was kind of casually into fitness before my injury, but working construction like I did, you know, to be honest, fitness was really a vanity sort of thing. It was just about looking good. And the only motivation I had to work out was to try to improve my appearance. And so I was pretty happy with things. And so I didn't have a lot of fitness goals. You know, I felt like my work kept me in good enough shape. And then it wasn't until the spinal cord injury that to live the life that I want to live and to be the person that I want to live, I have to work out regularly, every week, multiple times a week. What fitness has done for my endurance and my spasticity and just how I feel day to day. So I really became passionate about fitness after my injury. And the gym that I was working out at, one of the people that runs the gym noticed, and they're like, "Hey, you know, we got some fitness classes, would you be interested in teaching any of them?" And really, I had never considered anything like that. But when I turned 40 2 years ago, I had kind of a midlife crisis, if you will. I was, you know, I don't have like big birthday traditions, but I, for my birthday every year, I like to have a steak. It doesn't have to be on my birthday, just somewhere around my birthday. And then I just kind of evaluate my life and try to correct the ship a little bit. And when I turned 40, I was just like, I don't want to be on disability the rest of my life. I don't not want to have a job ever again. I kind of felt like I was in a grave and the dirt was piling up on top of me. And I was like, no, it's not time yet. So, when I did my yearly reassessment at 40, I decided that I wanted to try to earn a living and I wanted to try to go for it. So when I turned 40 is when I really, dove into my social media and started saying yes to opportunities. And that's when the opportunity to teach a fitness class came around, and it was, you know, it was super low paying, and it was something that I was uncomfortable with, but I was like, if you want to earn a job and make it on your own, you don't start by saying no to opportunities. So I just started going for it. And that led to another opportunity, which led to another opportunity, which led to another opportunity. And just, you know, just saying yes and going for it and trying to deliver the best product that I can is really, really sent me on kind of a crazy journey. And, you know, this month I'm going to be featured in Men's Health Magazine for their Strength and Diversity Initiative. And it's just really cool how throughout my life it has been evident that if you work hard, it'll pay off. And I know that there's a lot of people that have worked hard and it hasn't paid off. And I'm just very grateful that I keep finding myself in situations where if I work hard, I get rewarded.
Yeah, I love how you explain everything so well, right? Like, it's just, you went from talking about taking responsibility, but now it's like the biggest thing is saying yes to opportunities, right? And that's something that I feel like society as a whole doesn't do. And then it takes a little bit, because sometimes you say yes to those opportunities. And like you said, okay, it wasn't the most high paying thing, but look what it led to, right? And not only has it led to you teaching this cycle class, you know, four times a week, but you get to hang out, you find another community. So now you have an online community that is just speaking to your soul, that you get to, I wouldn't say inspire others, but you get to help others, right? And show them like, hey, I was in your shoes before. So now let's do this exercise class. And then after we can talk. And then you just see the evolution of saying yes to that opportunity, because now you're featured in Men's Health Magazine, which is incredible.
I really have a new appreciation for life. You know, I feel like I kind of got bogged down for a while. You know, you have a traumatic injury like this and your life gets thrown a different way, and it's easy to start thinking everything sucks and nothing's going to work out. But if, you know, the most powerful thing that I've discovered is just having a good attitude. And there's times when I'm faced with a shitty situation and you try to have a positive attitude and internally it feels like you're lying. You know, it doesn't feel genuine. But just trying to just see the positive and just be kind of stupidly optimistic sometimes, Hey man, it really does pay off because the only downside of that is that you're gonna be happier, you're gonna be more positive, and because I'm kind of a sarcastic jerk on some level, and so it's a little against my nature to try to just glass half full all the time, and it's not all the time, but by really trying to be positive, that's why I named my social media account Positively Paralyzed. Like, one, it's kind of a I'm positively paralyzed. Like, there's no doubt about that. But then, kind of the double entendre there. But then, just trying to remain positive. And yeah, a lot of this stuff sucks. And but if you can smile and laugh through it, that is so much better than crying.
Yeah, I love how you said positively paralyzed, right? Because you have this organization that you've come up with, and you named your social media. So could you kind of expand on what your goal is for that organization that you're heading now?
For sure. Originally it started out, so I relocated to Louisville, Kentucky from Lawrence, Kansas. This is where they were conducting spinal cord injury research. Dr. Susan Harkema is who I follow down here. She's brilliant leader in the spinal cord injury research field. And when I came down here, I lost my network. I lost everybody at home. I lost my community. And originally, it was to keep them informed on what was going on down here, just for a few friends back home. But it really quickly evolved. It became a way to provide and also have a sense of community online, since I had lost so much of that at home. And then down here, I pivoted and I used Positively Paralyzed to start throwing in-person events down here. We've had close to 10 parties that have each been attended by over 150 people from the paralysis community. These are great events that we get people from the community to donate. So, it costs us very little, and we're able to provide these events to the community and get people together, get people out of their houses. And that's really what Positively Paralyzed has become. Is just, it's about community. It's about community and information. One thing that I've really found, one of the first times there was a quad rugby thing down here, and I don't play, but I went just to check everything out. And this was when I had first moved down here, so this was almost 10 years ago. And what blew my mind was that was the first time that I had been with that many people in a wheelchair. And I was nerding out, man. Like, I was looking at a row of like 50 wheelchairs, and I'm like, look at how he mounted his phone, and look at how she mounted her phone, and look at where they keep their water, and look at their bags. And it's like, these are all problems that I have. And maybe that wasn't the perfect solution for me, but I saw all these other solutions for problems. And what I think is great is, if I have something that I'm dealing with, like, I've developed my own phone holder here. But if I have to come up with my own phone holder, then that's completely from scratch. That's version 1.0. If I can look at somebody else and what they've done, and then copy what they've done, tweak it a little bit, then I'm automatically a version 2.0. And that's twice as good, So by learning from other people in the community, we all elevate our own situation, and we can solve our problems. And the solutions are so much better if you get, even if you get bad information from someone, even if somebody just tells you all the stuff that didn't work, that is great knowledge. And so that's one of the huge things with the community, is like, being disabled sucks. We have a lot of problems that are different than what most people have, but other disabled people have the same problems, and we can learn from each other. And like, it saves you so much time. Your solution is so much better. And these are all just side effects of community. And so that's why, man, I'm so passionate about the community. We're all social creatures, and this injury holds us away. And if we can fight that, we can fight this injury better.
Yeah, I love how you're creating a community, right? And you said it very perfectly, and I've noticed that through some other guests. It's just like they talk about, going to another community of people that are just in similar situations than them that can very, very relate, right? It's just different. Like the example I like to use, I've interviewed a lot of rock climbers, and like the rock climbing community is so small, it's like a second family. But then there's even that small adaptive climbing community that's even just more of a family, tight knit, because like you said, you have these people with these adaptations that, like you said, you developed a phone holder, you saw how this person had that, and this wheelchair setup was this way. You can learn what to do and not to do. And that's like the beautiful thing of community. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're creating.
Yeah, and it's almost like, it's not like I'm creating it. It's just like I'm allowing these connections to be made, because it's all the knowledge exists in everybody's head. It's like I'm not really creating it. I'm just allowing this conduit for people to come together and share what they've learned, and their creations expand to other people. It's like this diaspora of knowledge.
So what do you hope the evolution is for the Positively Paralyzed LLC that you set up?
You know, to just keep growing that community. I would love to do more in-person events. You know, obviously I can't touch everybody in the world that way, but wherever I'm at, the local community events, getting people out and making those in-person connections is huge. I love the connections that I've made. You know, when we travel or when we go to conferences, we meet up with people that we've met. You know, so I think really my goal for Positively Paralyzed is just more community and more information sharing. Because, you know, it's the more you know, the better you can fight whatever it is you're facing. And if we can do it together, not only are we going to fight it better, but it doesn't have to be a lonely fight.
Yeah, and I love how you brought out sharing information, right? Getting that information out there. Because you and I spoke on the phone while we were setting up this interview, and you were talking to me about a podcast that you're kind of in the process of getting started and things like that. And so do you think that's like one avenue of like your approach to getting that information out there?
Yeah, I do. Because there's one thing that I've discovered is there's misinformation. There's snake oil salesmen. You know, the spinal cord injury community, let's just be honest, we're desperate. The situation that we're in sucks, and we're looking for any way out. And that leads a real gateway, or that there's a real opportunity there for dishonest people to come in and say, hey, you know, come down here to Panama and buy these cells and you're going to be fine. And it's like, I think there is a lot of promise in stem cells. But I think people are wasting their money going to countries and buying this stuff right now. Like, I think they're really just preying on the desperation. I think there's a bright future there. I think it needs to be researched and studied further. But I also fully believe that if that was working, they would be selling it here.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, like the whole snake oil salesman, right? I mean, there's just so much out there, and that's everywhere across social media and YouTube and things like that. And so I'm glad that you touch on it and bring up that fact, because, you know, that's something that as I dive into my physical therapy education, I'm learning a little bit more and more about that. There's the one thing that really sticks with me, especially when it combines, because we're talking about fitness and community, is movement is medicine. And that applies to everything. Like, movement isn't just fitness. It isn't just going to the gym. It isn't just going running, getting on a hand cycle or anything like that. It's the community. It's getting out and about in these social environments. And so, yeah, I think that's great that you brought that up, the statement. I love that.
You know, and like you're saying, movement is medicine. You know, I'm very lucky. You know, for 10 years, I've been in world-leading research. I've got to do, you know, some of the coolest stuff that's available for spinal cord injury, you know, transcutaneous stimulation, epidural stimulation, participating in some of the top research down here. But what I have really discovered is if you don't have access to any of this, just getting your butt to work. That's the secret sauce. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I've benefited from a lot of the technology greatly. But if you don't have access to any of the technology, you can still make huge gains by just getting to work, making your body move. If you lay there and die, that's what your body does. If you get up and get to work, your body starts finding ways to thrive. And then things, I'm not saying things are going to be normal. I don't think things are ever going to be, quote, normal for me again. I don't expect to make a full recovery ever. If it does, cool. But that's not what my life is about. Just getting to work has brought my energy up, has brought my mood up. I'm so much more capable from moving. So just, you know, I think if you shift your perspective a little bit, you know, my goals and what I view as success is not walking, is not being completely healed. But the person I am in my wheelchair is much stronger, is much happier, is much healthier. And that those are the wins that I'm looking for.
So how long did it take you to develop that mindset? Because, I mean, that's a hard thing to develop, especially in depending on the situation you're in.
You know, I'm really lucky that I don't know how I had this clarity when I was first inpatient at the hospital, but I had the will to fight it every day. You know, I made all my therapy appointments. It's always been very important to me to get up and do my best at fighting this. And something I told myself from the beginning is, you know, people are like, yeah, you know, this is the attitude you got to have. And it's like, yeah, I see that. But what I'm trying to challenge myself to do is to do this every day for the rest of my life. Anybody can be like, all right, I'm going to give it hell for 6 weeks or for the first year or, for the first, whatever, I'm going to do it. But, I was injured in 2011. I'm coming up on, 13 years deep into this, and I still have to attack it with that same vigor every day, or I'm going to lose ground. And then that's really been the challenge, but also been the payoff. Is just, it's not with my rehab, with my recovery, with my physical fitness, there is no end goal. That is a lifestyle, and I benefit from the lifestyle, but it's not going to end.
So, given the fact that now you've been, put in this magazine for men's health and you're becoming a fitness instructor, how are you taking what you just said and kind of applying it to other people?
So that's really what I want to share, is because I think it's hard to see a way out, especially when you're so deep in. And what I want other people with spinal cord injuries to realize is that there is so much more life available. When I look back to how I lived my life the first year or two, before I was able to make a lot of gains, and really, because it's not like you start working out and you feel better right away. You gotta stay at it and be consistent. But as I kept doing that and saw how much better my life got, I really want other people to see that and experience that. And I know I've been very fortunate in some aspects to be able to focus on the work that I've been able to do, to be able to focus on my fitness and my health, and have the resources to pursue that makes me very lucky. But discovering what I've discovered, I just want to share that knowledge. And I see other people that are struggling or going through it. And I so many people I see have way more potential than I have. Whether it's neurologically or whatever, I'm very lucky that I get to fulfill a certain percentage of my potential, but I think so many people have so much more potential, and helping them unlock it and helping them see that there's more in themselves, that just brings me so much joy, and that's really gratifying for me.
Yeah, I think it's great that you're sharing like how important it is for fitness and things like that. And now that you're encouraging others because you have that class, but I mean, are there other ways or avenues that you're in the future thinking about taking to like get fitness more present for people with either spinal cord or any other adaptation they're having to live with?
I mean, there's a lot of directions I'm trying to go with this. I'm getting my certification. Men's Health is actually helping me get my fitness certification, so I should be taking my exams here in about January. And then with the University of Utah, right now we're doing cycling, but we're trying to expand the programming to strength and cardio. And I do. I want to really build out my fitness platform. I have some videos that are available on YouTube for free for anyone, but I think really, like, my overreaching goal is to have fitness classes available for free on YouTube, for people to access at any time, to just to really offer more to the community and build out a bigger offering. And so people that are interested in seeing what fitness can unlock for them, they can pursue it. And there's so many barriers to everything. And for something to be truly accessible, it can't cost, And while I do want to develop my own fitness career, and I got to figure out a way to earn a full living and become self-sustaining, I'm really passionate about other people having access to fitness. And I see so many people that like start an app or whatever, but it's all subscription based, and it all costs. And it, ultimately, that just holds more people out. So I really am interested in finding a way that I can develop my fitness career, and I need to earn an income, and I need to be self-sufficient, but I also want to find ways to offer stuff for free, because the spinal cord injury community, man, we're tapped out. They don't have another $10 to pay this app for this month, so it's really important for me to find ways to help the community that I'm not just trying to profit off of them,
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, right? Because I mean, that's for everybody, that's so hard. And because, like you said, you have to make a living, you got to pay the bills, you got to eat the food, right? And you're spending your time to make this content, which I love making stuff for free. It's the greatest thing ever, right? Because it's the best benefit you can do, because you're doing it because you just solely want to do it, right? And the benefit is someone else. And But I think the same time as you have to trust the process that like doing things like that, eventually the right thing comes along to where you can have the bills taken care of and stuff like that. And so I love that, you know, you're really honest and upfront about that, right? Like I want to do all this stuff for free. I plan to do all this for free, but I've also got to figure out this. And you're right. You know, people in the adaptive community are tapped out. Like even a student, I don't have 10 bucks a month to pay for a subscription. It's freaking hard.
Right.
And so, yeah, everything you're saying is just spot on.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that, you know, obviously that's challenging because I want to get paid and I want to do things for free, you know, but I think there's ways to find middle ground and to find, you know, like with the University of Utah, they pay me to be an instructor, but the class is free for everybody that takes it, you know, and then that's the perfect scenario in my eyes is, you know, something that has funding to support it, but the people that need it aren't the ones being charged, you know? So if those are the kind of opportunities that I really like. And then, you know, I do want to start as I learn about fitness, I really have an interest in helping people. And I want to train people individually and really, I get a sense of satisfaction when I see somebody else make gains, you know, that's fun for me. So, you know, I do want to go down that road and hopefully, you know, maybe just, I don't know. There's so many options to go with things. And I would love to be a personal trainer, but then I don't want to charge somebody a bunch of money to do that. But then I don't have the time to do that for free, you know? So life's, it's hard figuring out where you can fit in and make everything work. But I think there's a way that it can all jive together.
Yeah, and I think you'll figure it out, definitely. And I think the biggest bang for your buck, too, is that the people that you're working with, you're in your current situation, so you have a way better understanding. I mean, I was talking to a guy in England that is paralyzed on his right side, I think. And, like, he did fitness classes during COVID on YouTube. And, like, it got to continue. And so I think it's just beautiful to see these things come to fruition, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'd love to kind of dive back into the class that you're leading and just, could you walk us through like when it first started, you first became part of it to where it's at now and like the growth of that? Cause I think that's important.
Yeah, for sure. So the fitness class right now with the University of Utah, we started this about a year ago with this one. And it was really cool. You know, there's this girl named Stephanie. It was her capstone project. And we started working together on what a cycling class would look like, you know, cause I'm doing it. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, and most people are in Salt Lake City. But then it's also remote for people around there. So in Salt Lake City at the University of Utah, it's called Trails Adaptive, and they have a gym where, people can go and they can take this class, all together. Sometimes I'll have, you know, five or six people at the Trails facility, and then other people join from their houses remotely via Zoom. And it was really cool working with the whole Trails team developing this. We didn't know how we were going to do it at first. And so we came up with, it's usually about 45 minutes, you know, between 40 and 50 minutes, the workout. It's set to music. We do 45 second breaks in between each song, and we work out for the song, and then we take breaks. We have different formats. Sometimes you work out through the whole song, you know, you just ride straight through, or then we'll do like 20 second bouts with 10 second breaks, or 40 second bouts with 20 second breaks, and we have different exercises that we do. We throw in some other movements on top of it, and it's really been cool choreographing things, setting it to music, coming up with different moves, trying to keep it interesting. And that's one thing I teach four of these classes a week. And each class is it's got its own choreography. It's set to its own playlist. And that's a lot of work every week, but it's a lot of fun. It keeps it fresh and it keeps things, interesting. And, you know, we really do. It's a fun time with the class. You know, it's interactive. We have a group chat going. They make suggestions for the playlist and what the workout is, and then we work on it together. And it's, I mean, what I've really found is, you know, like technically I'm the instructor or whatever for the class, but it's more just a group of friends, and it's a two-way street. It's not like I sit at a platform and, you know, preach, you know, it's just conversations with my friends, and we all work it together. And that's what's really great. You know, there's some people in the class have different backgrounds. You know, there's a girl that has fitness background. So, I mean, there's a lot of times I defer to her on questions in that, you know, like I'm not the expert. I get to lead the class, so I'll guide us through some exercises, but everybody is an expert in their own way. And we just have kind of a round table, open forum sort of thing. And we're all just friends. It's not really like I'm the instructor. And that's what's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it unique, right? Like you said, it's just a bunch of friends getting together. I think that's the important part, right? Because I think a lot of people in society, and this is from the adaptive to the able-bodied community, it doesn't matter where you're at, is that I think exercise has kind of gotten a derogatory association, is my personal opinion. And like, you're talking about making it fun, which is, I think that's an important part. If you make something fun, people are going to continue to come back, right? And then we just talked about how movement is medicine. So the more you can get those students to come back to get interactive, then that's just going to benefit them,
And benefit me too. That's one thing I tell them all the time.
Yeah.
There was one class where we had some things got mixed up with the time, and nobody showed up to class. And I was completely honest with them. I was like, you guys didn't show up to class, and I didn't do the workout either. And that's what I'm saying. This is really a two-way street. You guys hold me accountable as much as I hold you accountable. And you know what? You guys didn't show up, and I didn't do my workout. So I need you to make sure I do my workout too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that accountability is hard, and then like you said, you just continue to develop that trust with those people that have started with you, that are continuing with you, to the people that come in, right? It's just being authentic, like, yeah, I didn't do it either,
Yeah, and that's something I try to be really honest with them about. I don't want to be like, I always do my stuff. It's like, no, man, I struggle with motivation too. I struggle with fitting everything into my schedule. Some days I don't feel like doing it. And like, let's talk about it together. How are we going to get it done when we don't feel like doing it?
You're just a breath of fresh air, man. All this knowledge. I love everything that you're saying.
I'd like to hear more about the climbing. I had a really cool, this is kind of a side note, but I had a super cool gym teacher in grade school, and he built a climbing cave and a bouldering wall in our gym in grade school. And then I got to be captain of the climbing club, and we used to go to this climbing wall that was like 30 feet up, and we'd climb up that. And I'd like to hear a little bit about your climbing background and how that all came about.
Oh man, that's I can make that story short. So I actually started climbing in 2017. I just randomly got a job at a local climbing gym after I left the military. And yeah, that climbing really just set me on the trajectory of life path I'm currently on, which is amazing. And it's the greatest thing ever. But it's just, to me, it's the community. It's like finding the second family, 'cause like I felt very lost when I got back and just kind of reintegrated in society. And then not only is it, you get the physical aspects from it, right? Because it's like yoga. It's very intuitive. You become very internal about like the way your feet move, your hand placement, things like that. You're using your body. And so I love that aspect that it's very internal and you're not focused on like, oh, my power snatches this, my bench press is this. It's just like, oh, I climbed a what you would consider a harder grade, right? Because the problem is set a little bit harder. But I think it's, to me, the big fact is the community, kind of like you're saying with your classes.
I think what's really cool, I always liked the problem solving, and like you can't just go for the next hold because maybe that doesn't put you in position for the one after that. And I think that there's a lot of good parallels and lessons for spinal cord injury. Like spinal cord injury, life is a puzzle. And maybe that's the easy next move right there, but then that's not going to position me for the move after that. And so I think the foresight that you have to have for climbing, looking two or three moves ahead, like that's a good lesson for anyone, but particularly spinal cord injury.
Yeah, that the problem solving, it really parallels what you were just saying, and I think that is a big aspect. But and to me, I think it's also this the internal aspect, right? Because a lot of the climbers I talk to, even though they compete in the adaptive league, they're just like, dude, I don't care how someone else did. Like, it's all about my performance. Did I get 1% better? And I think that's the important thing. And I think that goes for everybody, is like, you need to focus on, did you get 1% better? Like, who cares if someone climbs harder than you and all that? Like, at the end of the day, you might have, what's great about it is you have a competitor that maybe is doing better than you, but at the end of the day, when it's your turn and you're going up, that other competitor is going to be shouting for you, supporting you, and like want you to crush it.
Dude, that's exactly what it is with spinal cord injury. I feel like, it's really hard to find somebody that functions just like me. Like I miss competition, because when you're able-bodied, it's like, all right, we're all able-bodied. We can go pick one of a million games and it's a pretty fair competition. It's really hard for me to find somebody that functions just like I do, and we can really have a fair game. But I can always compete with myself. You know, I can always try to be a better version of Jared. I can always go against the best time that I've ever had. And that's the fairest competition there is. And at the end of the day, that's all you're trying to do. It doesn't matter if I'm better than Steve or Bill or whoever, you know, what matters is if I'm being a better version of myself. And that's exactly what, and that's exactly what it's all about, is just improving yourself to become closest to the, you know, the best form of Jared that I can become. You know, I don't want to beat Ben. I want to beat Jared from yesterday and be the best Jared that I can be. You know, I never wanted to be paralyzed or be a quadriplegic, but now I am. And so I'm going to try to be the best quadriplegic that I can be. And I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, you hit it on the head, right? I mean, just being the best person you can be with the given circumstances that you have. And unfortunately, some people just, yeah, you've gotten an unforeseen, unfortunate circumstance, but like you said, can you make the best of it?
That's what, you know, I'm always, my dad was a racer in high school, you know, a gearhead working on cars all the time. And they had these races that were called Run What You Brung. And it was kind of an open class, and whatever vehicle you had, that's what you raced. And that's what life is. You know, this is a Run What You Brung race. And this is not the car I would pick. This is not the car that I wanted, but it's the car that I got, and I'm going to race the hell out of it.
That's awesome, man. You know, we've been talking about community and fitness, and I love it because they're just so interconnected, right? But I mean, there's a lot of people out there that maybe are second guessing. And then, like I said, this goes for all communities. You know, what would you tell someone that's maybe second guessing saying yes to an opportunity, like going to one of your classes or going to a fitness class or maybe getting into an adaptive sport league or things like that?
I would tell them that they're worth it, that you are worth it, that this is your life. And I don't know what you believe, but whatever you believe, it's a belief, and we don't know what happens next. So all that's for sure is what you got right now, and rock it out. You know, don't stay in your house. Don't stay in your bed. It's uncomfortable. I don't like how I look. I don't like how I function. I don't like being disabled out in public. But I would rather be out in public than in my room, than in a hole. You know, and at the end of the day, maybe some people are going to look a little bit, but they don't really care. And they don't matter. To be honest, they don't matter. So who cares if people look a little bit? Like, get out of your house, get out of your shell. I almost hate saying this, but I fully believe it. You know, I am very disabled. I am a C5 quadriplegic, muscles basically from above my nipples down. None of them work normally. You know, half of my arms work, and that's about it. Most of my disability exists in my head, and that's the truth. I have a lot of challenges and problems, but most of my disability is in my own head. And if I can overcome that, then the rest of life is really, it's really not that hard. Like, and I don't mean to downplay the challenges of paralysis and spinal cord injury and quadriplegia. And, you know, I need help pooping every day, and I need help getting dressed every day, and I don't live life independently. But I still feel that most of my disability is in my head. And if I can overcome the mental struggles of my disability, that really the physical struggles are, they're real, but they're not that bad. And if you can just grasp that mental aspect of it and be positive and smile when it sucks, that you're going to make your life and anybody that cares about you, you're going to make their life infinitely better.
Yeah, and I think it takes time to develop a perspective like that, you know, because like you said, we're all human. We're all going to have shitty days, you know, it just doesn't matter, or shitty weeks, whatever you want to talk about it. But yeah, like you said, the taking the responsibility and then just being like, I think the big thing to bring out of what you just said, though, is no one gives a shit, right? No one literally cares. Everybody's so self-absorbed with their own problems that, like, who gives? No one cares. You know?
And that's the thing. Nobody cares about you as much as you do. So why don't you care about yourself in a positive way? Why don't you, like, let's be loving to ourselves. Let's support ourselves. You know, like, it's very easy to continually put yourself down and be your own, like, biggest hater. And I struggle with that. You know, there's times where, you know, I get so in my head about, am I going to poop my pants? You know, and the reality is that I worried about that so much, and it actually happened so little. And what I've really getting over the hump with spinal cord injury for me has just been being realistic about things. You know, it's like, I might poop my pants when we're out. I might. And if it happens, I'm going to deal with it, but I'm not going to stress about it happening the whole time until I just basically force myself into shit in my pants. You know what I mean? Like, just pretend everything's good. It's too easy to be like, this could happen, and then this will happen, and then this will happen, and then, or what if I pee myself, and then you know, everybody can smell it, or I poop myself, and everybody, and then I need to leave, and then it's not going to work out, and then, so you know what, I'm not going to go to dinner. And I feel like that's what everybody does. They just jump to all these worst case scenarios, and then it's like, that would be so embarrassing, and it is. I've shit my pants in public, and people smell it, and I got to go get cleaned up, and it's embarrassing. That it happens. But it doesn't happen very much. And at the end of the day, anybody that I really care about their opinion, that didn't change their opinion of me, you know? So you just got to kind of get over all this. It's little stuff. You know, it seems huge to you. You know, nobody wants to be sitting at a restaurant and crap their pants as an adult. But at the end of the day, it's not a big deal. You know, you got to leave. You got to go get cleaned up. Who cares? Live your life anyway. You know, so many people just – They choose not to live their life because what could happen, and you're worth it. That's what I want people to know. You are worth it. Like, love yourself enough to just believe that you're worth it.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway, right? That you are worth it and love yourself enough. And I love how you bring in the fact that, like, the people that actually care about you don't give a crap. Like you said, if you have an accident, you crap your pants or whatever, like, it's just, okay, you take care of the problem, you're done. And it's right. That simple. And then the people in the restaurant, I don't fucking know those people. So like, who gives a shit?
Exactly. And that's the attitude you have to have. And really think like, if you remove yourself from these situations and you're like, what kind of person would see somebody that's had a traumatic injury trying to live their life with a disability and they have something medical happen like that? Who sits there and is like, oh, F that person. How could they? It's like, no, man, at the end of the day, 99% of people are compassionate and they want to understand. And if you just try to back yourself out, it's just so easy to just be way too in your head. And it's not easy to get out of your head, but get out of your head. You know, it's not what you think it is.
Yeah, I think you've explained everything perfectly throughout this entire conversation. You've given like so much insight, you know, and I love just hearing about your story and what you're trying to do. And so kind of ending, I'm kind of curious, like, what legacy do you want to leave behind?
Ooh, you know, I think sticking with the you are worth it. And you know, man, how do I put this? The legacy I want to leave behind. I feel like wheelchair users in general just were not considered for a lot of things. And I think the what I would want people to really remember is that there is millions of people with disabilities and with wheelchairs. And there is so much that we can offer the world if we're allowed to. You know, there's so much that we are held back from that is not accessible. But people with disabilities have value, and there's a lot that we can bring to the table. You just have to make sure that we can get to that table. And that's really what I wanted to believe, is there are geniuses, there are leaders, there are people that are going to help cure diseases with disabilities. And you just have to make sure that they can get to the table so they can help solve those problems, because there are high value, high worth people with disabilities. And so if you can get them a seat at the table, that table is going to be better.
Yeah, I think that's an important aspect. And that's really what switched my focus to was like the podcast and stuff like that. I was reading, I think it's Henry Fraser is his name. He's the author out of England that had a spinal cord injury. And he was talking about, because I interviewed a lot of adaptive athletes and stuff. And he was like, you know, there's a lot of people in the adaptive community that are actually contributing to society. It's just kind of semi overshadowed. And I think what you just said is a very perfect explanation of that, is like, there are people in the adaptive community who have had some kind of spinal cord injury. It doesn't matter, that are going to contribute and can contribute because they're geniuses and stuff like that. They just need that seat at the table. And I think as social media grows and like people like yourself that are out there highlighting these things, it's going to come out and there's going to be way more opportunities that are slowly going to start to come out.
I think so. And, you know, I think that's one of the pretty things about social media. You know, there's a lot of ugly stuff that happens online and, you know, all the negative that comes with social media, but there's a lot of beauty there too. And the community and the sharing of knowledge and that can really serve people and help people. And you don't have to be alone. And there is a better life available. And a lot of that I've discovered through social media. So, you know, I think there's, as long as you can limit it and keep it on your terms, there's a lot of good that can come from a lot of this technology. We just have to be better as humans at managing it.
Yeah, right. It's a tool. It's not life. That's, I think, that best takeaway.
Exactly. It's a tool. It's not life. That's a great way to put it.
Jerry, man, thank you so much for sharing an hour of your time this afternoon. It's been a pleasure just getting to know about you, learn about you, and everything you said. It's just been so phenomenal. I can't wait to publish this episode. And going forward, it sounds like people can follow you on Instagram. And is there any other thing or any other links you'd like to shout out as well?
Yeah, give us a follow on Instagram, Positively Paralyzed on Facebook as well. We have a website if you're interested in, you know, we have some consulting services. We offer... we help design research studies for pharmaceutical companies and anybody that just wants to chat. You know, I try to respond to all the messages. Sometimes it takes me a few days, but I'm more than happy to chat with anybody that has any questions or wants to know more or anything I can do to help anybody else out there. Just please reach out.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben.